Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, martial law. Rodrigo brings the case against his friend and jiu-jitsu classmate, Matthew. Rodrigo claims Matthew has avoided taking the no-gi classes at their jiu-jitsu studio and needs to start challenging himself in his practice. Matthew says he's tried the classes but can't spend all his free time practicing. Is Matthew wimping out? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
You swing to your left, then you swing to your right. This new dance, people, it's pure dynamite. Every step is poetry in motion. Let the rhythm take your devotion. So when you feel like you want to fight, people, listen to me. Don't get uptight. This is all you do. Bailiff Jesse, swear him in.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that his specialty is bartitsu?
I do.
Very well, Judge Hodgman.
You may be seated, Rodrigo and Matthew, for an immediate summary judgment in one of your favors. Can either of you name the piece of culture that I paraphrased as I entered the courtroom, and I will allow that barking dog in the back room to vote as well? Rodrigo.
No, I have no idea.
Is it Vision Quest?
Is it Vision Quest? Matthew jumping in for the steal. No. I could not complete the quote, which is a lyric to a song, without revealing the name of the song. This is all you do, dance the kung fu. And of course, you are familiar with Dance the Kung Fu. No?
Oh, it's my favorite song.
No, right. But I couldn't come out and just read the lyrics from Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas, because you would know it, right?
Correct.
Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting? Those cats were fast as lightning, right? I couldn't say that. But what I didn't know until...
All right, we would have got that one.
You would have gotten that one, or you would not have, Matthew?
I think I would have got that one.
Yeah, I can't allow that to happen. Instead, it turns out that Carl Douglas, after he enjoyed his one number one hit in 1974, the novelty disco track, Kung Fu Fighting, he attempted to recapture the magic by releasing another song about Kung Fu called Dance the Kung Fu. And he released that in the same year, about 5 months later. And this song is not as good a song. It peaked at number 35. And Carl Douglas is now 71 years old. But Jesse Thorne, have you ever had a number one hit, Jesse?
No, sir.
No. How about either of you guys?
I don't think so.
Do you ever have a number one hit on the dance pop charts or just the Billboard Top 100?
No, I think I was like number 40.
Yeah, right. And that was in the Kung Fu only novelty song charts.
That was during a brief period when Billboard had a special chart for glibness.
Right. No. So let us praise Carl Douglas and hope that he is happy and healthy. And I hope he's a listener and a Maximum Fun member. And perhaps even he would like to buy a Ragnarok survival kit, which he can do by going to bit.ly/survive Ragnarok. So, Rodrigo, you contend that Matthew is not hardcore enough in his jiu-jitsu. Tell me why.
Well, we've probably been doing jiu-jitsu around the same amount of time at the same gym for about 2 years now. And he regularly goes to the gi classes. But in those 2 years, he has probably gone to one no-gi class.
Okay. And just for the benefit of our listeners, a no-gi jiu-jitsu class is a nude jiu-jitsu class. Is that correct?
It's pretty much where you just wear shorts and just like a rash guard, like an Under Armour tight shirt, compression shirt. Mm-hmm. And gi is where you have the actual like karate style kimono that you see.
Right. The classic.
With the belt attached.
Your classic karate man uniform.
Yes.
And what is the difference between a gi class and a no gi class? Is it just the outfit that you're wearing?
No, it's actually the speed's a lot different. A no gi match is a lot faster just because you don't have anything to grab onto and slow the person down. Mm-hmm. And also, the submissions you can do in a gi class are different than the ones you can do in a no gi class because you can choke someone with their with the fabric, whereas no gi you can't do any of that.
What? Wait a minute. Let me back up for a second here. You can choke someone with the fabric?
Yes.
What gym are you going?
That's all Matt
does. Gym are you going to? Hunger Games gym? All right, maybe I need to understand what jiu-jitsu is. Now, I understand what kung fu is because of I just know that those cats are fast as lightning. What is the difference between kung fu and jiu-jitsu? What is jiu-jitsu?
It's sort of, the best way to explain it, I guess, is sort of like wrestling, except with submissions. So there's no striking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everything else except striking.
So it's just grappling and getting the other person to submit to a form that you have chosen.
Yes. All right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the sport of mixed martial arts or ultimate fighting seems to have determined over the years that it is perhaps the most effective real-world fighting technique.
I would agree with that.
Oh, so mixed martial arts is real-world fighting?
Well, mixed martial arts is the closest sort of observed thing to real-world fighting, and the only sport where various martial arts battle against each other and mixes thereof. And one of the things that has come up over the 15 or so years that mixed martial arts has been a major thing is that jiu-jitsu pretty much always wins. Now, of course, people have added things to jiu-jitsu, but jiu-jitsu is like the one that works.
So
you just get people on the ground and choke them.
So the mixed martial arts ring, or is the octagon, like I know, because mixed martial arts is the generic term. That other thing you said, the
ultimate fighting?
Final, no. That's a trademarked promotion, I believe.
Oh, forgive me.
And
by no means did I mean to buzz market something that genuinely terrifies me.
and mixed martial arts is the generic term. Now, does mixed martial arts, Rodrigo, since you're the hardcore jiu-jitsu dude, does mixed martial arts take place in an octagon?
It depends on who's holding the fight, but usually it does.
Okay, and so this octagon or this non-specific fight shape has become the crucible by which all kinds of fighting styles have fought for dominance. And jiu-jitsu, we've learned now through fighting science, is number one fight.
Well, it's the number one grappling fight because you can't. There's punching as well in mixed martial arts,
and you can't punch in jiu-jitsu.
Correct.
So is what Jesse was saying, was that right or wrong? Just so I understand. What is the advantage that jiu-jitsu has in a mixed martial arts setting that has increased its profile so highly in Jesse Thorne's mind, of all people?
A lot of times when a match goes to the ground, the techniques that they're using are from jiu-jitsu.
Right. That's when the two guys, instead of standing up and fighting, lie down on the ground and hug one another to death.
Yes.
By hug one another to death, Judge Hodgman, you mean choke each other with the fabric,
yeah.
Right?
It's like ballet. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's a beautiful art form. It's not fighting. It's two guys trying to choke each other by punching each other in the throat until one of them hurts. It's like it's an art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sweet science.
All right. So jiu-jitsu, is there a lot of ground game in jiu-jitsu? Do you go down to the ground a lot in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, like 90% of the match is done on the ground.
Oh, okay.
Unless two people are really good at going for takedowns, which I'm not. I think I submitted a couple of clips where I'm usually on the ground within the first 5 seconds.
All right, I'm gonna take a look at this now. Here is a video of me, Rodrigo, to show what no gi is. I actually get wrongfully disqualified in the clip, but it was the highest video, highest quality video I have. I'll, you know what? I'll be the judge of whether you were wrongfully disqualified. Take a look. These would be on the blog, obviously. Whoa, okay. Now you're hugging this man, and which one are you, blue shirt or blue and white shirt?
All blue.
You're all blue. So the first thing you do is you have jumped into this man's arms and wrapped your legs around him as though you were my child greeting me at the door. And now you have wrapped your hands around his neck, and you're pulling his head down hard into his own chest like you are my child greeting me at the door. All right, let's see what else you do like my child. You're trying to pull, he's pushing you away, and this has now become extremely awkward and uncomfortably long. Now you're reaching around his leg. Now you're on the ground. Now your back is on the ground here, Rodrigo. Now, and this just keeps going on where you guys just grab and paw at each other for a long period of time. And this is a sport, I would not say, like, this is a sport more for you two, right? Not really for the spectator. I mean, I'm sure the connoisseur would enjoy seeing the various grapplings you're doing, but then, okay, now you've been disqualified. I'm sure the connoisseur would be pleased to see the particular moves that you're doing and would understand it, but it is a sport, as a spectator, it's a sport for the initiated. It's not like watching beautiful horses jump over beautiful hedges or whatever, right?
Oh, if I brought in a friend that wasn't interested in jiu-jitsu, they'd probably hate me for bringing them to a competition.
Right, because it looks very awkward and uncomfortable.
And frankly, because a lot of people don't enjoy being choked by the fabric.
Okay, so this is no gi. So you guys are wearing rash guards and shorts. And tell me how you were unfairly disqualified. It is a very high quality video, though, so I give you credit for that. Since this is a podcast, that's very important. But so how are you unfairly disqualified?
The move I was going for, it's supposed to put shoulder pressure on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. But the ref thought that I was putting pressure on the bicep, which is illegal for someone at my level. So
it's illegal for someone at your level. It's too advanced a move for you.
Yes, I know. Apparently, I'm not good enough to do that move.
Look, now you get up and you are mad in this video. You want to punch a guy, but you can't because it's jiu-jitsu, no striking.
Yeah, man. Yes. You really got to learn jiu-jitsu better. I put pressure on my biceps all the time. Just lifting a glass puts pressure on my biceps. That's how badass I am.
You know, folks, this is like the Avengers. After you see the final fight, you got to stick around for the after credit sequence where Rodrigo argues with the ref and storms off angry. Wow. All right.
And deadly.
His indignation is his weapon. Rodrigo, you're a tough dude, and you did a good job. That's pretty hardcore. Matthew, how come you don't want to fight while wearing a rash guard and shorts? How come you want to wear a karate guy uniform, like a cool karate guy, and you don't want to look like two surfers who got into a beef?
Well, the thing, that if you can probably tell from the video, Rodrigo's like, of more athletic build. I'm not sure if you submitted the picture of both of us. So when I started doing jiu-jitsu, I was a lot, I had a lot less strength than I do now. Mm-hmm. So the gi is more of like a, it's kind of something that you can use to like even the playing field with people who just try and use like all strength. So like in no gi classes, I always like used to prefer doing the gi classes because you can use like the fabric to like make like loops, and you can do like different styles of a guard, which can like, you know, prevent the person from like trying to smash you the whole time. Because if the person's a lot stronger than you and they're doing no gi, it's a lot harder to like hold them in place or to prevent them from out muscling you.
Like it's a combination,
especially at like lower levels.
Right, you can make it's like it's a combination of fighting and like knot tying.
Right, exactly. And I'm pretty good at the knot tying, so.
Well, Rodrigo did send in the photo of you guys together, and I can't tell. It's just a bunch of young men who are hitting each other with belts. Is this part of your sport?
It happens about once every like 6 months when there's promotions. So when people are given new belts, whoever gets a new belt has to run through it's called the gauntlet. And so everyone sets up to either side, and they have to run, and they get smacked with the belt. It's completely optional.
Let me ask you guys a question. As someone who is no longer one and never was the other, what is it like to be young and a man? Hitting each other with belts. I don't know if you can ask Matt. Oh, some trash talk, Matt, from you, Jiu-Jitsu pal. All right, I'm now using the facial recognition software that is embedded in this totally generic, non-name brand social networking site. I can determine that Matthew is the fellow on the right who is getting ready to hit his friend with a belt. And Matthew,
right.
this is the image that you are sending to me, a 42-year-old man with a mustache, to prove that you are not physically fit enough to engage in no-gi style jiu-jitsu. Is that correct?
Well, the thing is, since I've probably put on like 15 pounds of muscle since I first started doing jiu-jitsu, so yeah. I probably was a lot skinnier when I first started.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are you doping? Are you doping?
No, I was just really skinny.
Did you have that accent before you started doping to put on muscle? Where are you from?
Yes.
Where are you from?
England, Birmingham, England.
Birmingham, England. And Rodrigo, where are you from originally?
I am from Leominster, Massachusetts.
Leominster, Massachusetts, the ancient rivals of my father's hometown of Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Who won on Turkey Day?
Leominster.
You're probably right.
The Blue Devils.
I think they. I don't ever remember a time when Fitchburg won. Don't yell at me, Fitchburg. You know I don't care about this stuff. Well, good for you. And where is this gym?
It's on Newberry Street in Boston.
Whoa! All right. So this is a Bostonian jiu-jitsu gym.
Yes.
Yeah. And how old are you guys?
I am 24.
I'm 25.
Matthew, what brings you to our fair shores?
I've been here for like 4 years just for work. I work as a web developer.
All right. And are you a legal resident, or am I going to get you deported with this podcast or what?
No, I'm a legal resident.
All right. And you guys met through this gym, is that correct? Or were you pals from before?
We met through the gym.
All right. Now, Rodrigo, why is it any of your business what Matthew wants to do in his jiu-jitsu career?
Because I care about him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this, like not doing no-gi is hurting his game. For instance, there is only a limited set of moves that Matthew does because he feels really comfortable with them.
I look forward to hearing the names of the moves and the descriptions, at least of a couple of them.
Okay. One of them is called an Ezekiel, and one is called, I think it's just called, or he calls it the sneak. I'm not sure I don't know if that's a...
That's where you get in there and pull down them trousers.
It's actually called a baseball choke.
It's, well, oh, wait, it's called baseball choke.
Yeah.
But you call it the sneak?
Yeah,
basically. It's because baseball choke.
What happens in the baseball choke?
Yeah. It takes one of the traditional choke holds in baseball and adapts it to the jiu-jitsu.
Is the baseball choke where it's the bottom of the ninth with two outs and you strike out?
That's pretty much what happens. Like, usually I'll be in like a bad position, and then I can like use that choke from like pretty much a lot of different positions, and then like it'll take the person off guard, and then like usually I can like tap out the opponent with that submission. That's why it's called the sneak.
It's not very sneaky when it's the only move he does.
How many times have you two fought each other? Or grappled? Do you say fight, or do you say grapple, or what do you say? Lie on the floor and violent hug?
Say fight. I usually just say... usually roll. It's called rolling.
Yeah, how many times you guys rolled?
Probably about four times a week.
Oh, okay. And do you count victories and losses, or is it just practice and sparring?
I can't count that high, Your Honor.
Oh, are you?
Rodrigo, trash talk.
Are you hijacking my podcast just to trash talk your friend? Is that what's going on here?
No, it is not.
Uh huh. You are, Matthew, would you concur with Rodrigo that he is a substantially better jiu-jitsuer than you?
Yes, I would agree. I would agree with that.
Right.
I would say that he also probably goes to the gym double the amount of time that I go.
And before we go any further, I obviously can't see you guys. Does he have you in a baseball choke right now? Do you need, help?
No.
Do you need me to send someone over? Okay.
He doesn't know how to use the baseball choke.
Oh, boy, boy. More trash talk. Very exciting here. I feel like I'm at an American sports bar. All right. What? Hey, can I tell you something funny? I think it's funny anyway. When I was in Boston, I'm from Brookline, and I haven't been to Boston late at night in many a year. And after a show that I performed at the lovely Wilbur Theater, great venue for comedy in Boston that you should go to all the time, really one of the best places to perform and see a show. I'll buzz market that all day long. I went to a bar that I will not name because it was dumb and gross. After I was turned away from a fancy bar that wouldn't let me in because it was 2:01 a.m. because Boston. And then the other bar stayed open later, but eventually at 2:35 a.m. or whatever, they wanted us all to go home. And the way that they got the way they cleared out the bar was in the most Mas-holic fashion I've ever seen. They turned on all the lights, which is not that uncommon, but then they blasted the theme song from Cheers. It was the greatest thing I had ever endured by being chased out of a bar by Everyone Knows Your Name. Where were we? Oh yeah, you guys having your dumb sports fight. Matthew, what are your goals for jiu-jitsu?
I mean, I just pretty much do it to like keep fit, and like I do like to compete just to like test myself to see like what level I'm at. But I mean, right now I don't really have like any goals to be like, you know, the best in Boston, or let's say that. Yeah.
Rodrigo, do you hear the sound of someone who grew up in a country where you were cradled from cradle to grave? Do you hear the sound of someone who grew up in a country with a national health service and has probably,
yes,
and probably has never had to voluntarily work a day in his life?
Yes.
Are you trying to get by the jiu-jitsu program on the dole, Matthew?
No, I mean, I do put in like a lot of effort, just not as much as Rodrigo.
Do you take off long periods of time in your jiu-jitsu training to go backpacking around Europe?
No, but I wish I could.
Rodrigo, if you're in the gym twice as much as Matthew, do you even have a job, or is it just jiu-jitsu all the time for you?
Yes, I do have a job.
What is your job?
He has a job, but he doesn't have a life.
Thanks.
I'll allow it. What is your job?
I work for a project management consulting firm.
Oh boy.
So you're a check casher.
Sure.
You cash checks for major corporations.
You're a project manager for a consulting firm?
Yes.
And that is something that there is no human who is in the world who is actually passionate about that. So you pour your passion into jiu-jitsu. Would that be accurate to say?
Yes.
I don't want to get you fired from your job and deported to England. Counterintuitively, but but is jiu-jitsu a passion for you?
Yes.
All right. Matthew, is jiu-jitsu a passion for you?
Yes.
What? 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 I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Yeah. Say it like you mean it, son.
Yes.
I don't believe you for a second. Rodrigo, what is your goal for jiu-jitsu? You're already doing the no-gi training. Are you going to go into mixed martial arts fightings?
Oh, no. No.
No.
I do not want to get punched.
Oh, you just grappling only?
Yes.
Just stress on the old biceps.
Yes. So how far do you want to progress in jiu-jitsu, and what do you get out of it?
I just want to go as far as I can, I guess. So just compete as much as I can and pretty much see how far I can get.
All right. Do you want to say some words that might be
end goal?
Oh, all right, let me put it to you this way. You want to say some words that might be somewhat more thought-provoking and inspiring that might get Matthew thinking a little bit more about improving his game by you saying what you get out of it, what you get out of going on to the next level that might get Matthew out of his rut?
Well, Matt likes to compete. When there's any local tournaments, Matt will usually compete in them.
And how does he do?
So I know he already likes to compete.
How does he do?
He wins some matches, and he's placed several times.
Matthew, are you comfortable with that lackadaisical record?
Yes, let's just say more recently I've been doing better than I was before.
Matthew, what are you afraid of in these no-gi classes?
I mean, not really anything, to be honest. Before probably like...
I don't believe you, okay? Because A, this is a terrifying sport to begin with. And B, anyone who avoids doing something is afraid of it. What are you afraid of?
But you haven't let me have my return argument. The thing is, Rodriguez says that I'm afraid of it
I'm choking you out with the fabric of your own arguments.
No, Rodriguez says that I don't attend the no-gi classes, but the no-gi classes are always on a Wednesday and a Friday night, which is usually when I have other plans.
What are your other plans that are more important than no-gi jiu-jitsu? I can't think of any.
Well, on Wednesday, it's date night.
Is that gi or no-gi date night?
No-gi.
Ooh.
That's what I like to hear, buddy.
And then Friday, I will usually like go out with some of my friends or like some of Nikki's friends.
Some of your jiu-jitsu friends or your non-jiu-jitsu friends?
Usually non-jiu-jitsu friends because most people will tend to not go out on a Friday night so that they don't feel like death at the gym on Saturday.
Rodrigo, do you have a fiance or a special person in your life?
Unfortunately, I do not, but that is a lie on Matthew's part.
I asked you a simple question. Next simple question. Do you have any non-jiu-jitsu friends?
Yes.
One.
What is the name of Rodrigo's
is that
non-jiu-jitsu
a gi
friend?
Or no-gi friend?
Gi.
What is the name of Rodrigo's non-jiu-jitsu friend?
Kevin.
And what does Kevin do? Just sit there and take it?
He like comes to the bar with us sometimes.
To what degree, Rodrigo, do you think you're just jealous of Matthew's obviously much more vibrant social life?
I'm not that jealous because he makes it out like he's doing a lot more than he really is.
Right. You don't think he should be going out on dates with his fiance, or are you saying they don't actually go out on that many dates?
I'm saying they don't actually go out on that many dates.
And that's because you're following them around and monitoring what they're doing every Wednesday night?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Driving around. I don't think that counts as a date. You guys just hung around the apartment and then hugged and kissed. So I don't think that counts. You could have gone to no-gi jiu-jitsu that day. You didn't go to a movie or to a play. That's what a date is.
Yeah, that's exactly his argument sometimes.
Really?
Well, no.
Go on. I'll allow it, Matthew.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I didn't end up going to the movies. And I'll just stayed in with Nikki. He's like, oh, so you could have come to no gi. I'm like, well, no, because I had to stay in with Nikki. He's like, well, you could have come to the gym first and then hung out with Nikki. I said, you try explaining that to her.
How long is the no-gi class?
See, it can only be an hour.
It can only be an hour? Then, because of Commonwealth law,
it's an
you're
hour.
Not allowed to do it for longer?
It's an hour with a half hour of live rolling.
Gross. All right. An hour of what? Training? Training with a sensei?
Of instructions. Right. Yeah, so the professor shows you some moves and then you do them.
So 90 minutes, you're out of there. Plus, you're probably going to have to, what, take a shower or whatever, get dressed?
Yeah.
Yes.
What time is the class?
It starts at 6.
So on Friday. On Wednesday it starts at 7.
At Wednesday, so 7 to 9. Yeah, yeah, that's prime time.
Right?
But you're young people, you can go out after.
Yeah.
What is your fiance's name, Matthew?
Nikki.
And what style of martial art does she excel in?
Anti Rodrigo.
Oh, really? Does she get angry?
No,
at him
she likes
for
him really.
Insisting that, yeah. But Rodrigo.
I used to sleep over mats a lot.
Uh huh. Go on.
Because I used to, right when I graduated, I lived in Leominster, and Matt lived here in Kenmore, which is right next to the gym. So every Friday, or most of Friday, I would come and I would go out drinking and sleep over at Matt's place and then go to the gym in the morning.
You're like a jiu-jitsu hobo? Like you're just going, you're couch surfing to go just to hit the gym?
Well, no, no.
Not anymore. Though.
I misspoke. I'd go on. We'd go to the gym, and then we'd go out after, and I would sleep over on Saturday, and then on Sunday I'd wake up and go home.
And when? How long ago would this have
been? And when? Can I just paint the picture that I lived in a studio apartment with Nikki, so there was literally a bookcase between our bed and the sofa that Rodrigo was sleeping on.
And how long ago? When was the last time Rodrigo was sleeping on your floor or couch or whatever?
Probably like February.
When was the last time Rodrigo was sleeping in your dojo?
Yeah, probably February.
February of this year?
Yeah.
Rodrigo, do you have your own home now?
Yes, I do.
When you were sleeping with Matthew and his fiance every weekend night, were you and Matthew doing... Were you and Matthew doing a lot more? Were you and Matthew more matched in jiu-jitsu? Were you doing a lot of jiu-jitsu together at the time?
Yeah. I think Matt was doing more. But yeah, I guess we were pretty even or so.
Do you want Matthew to excel at jiu-jitsu and go to these classes because you miss him?
Well, I want to go because I think it'll make him better. And in the long run, I don't want to see him just stay at the same level.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if he did no gi, there's a lot of things that he can do that.
Right. Yeah. Make sure that, you know, let's just keep it competitive. Let's just keep it, you know, you want to push him along, right? God forbid you admit that you miss your friend in the sport where you spend a lot of time lying down on the ground hugging. God forbid you acknowledge that you miss your pal. But no, you don't care. You don't care about seeing him. You really just want him to achieve at a higher level. Is that correct?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
The problem is that Rodrigo has the highest standard because he is probably the best competitor at the gym out of pretty much everyone there. So he kind of is at the top standard. So to expect me to be at the top standard too is kind of a bit much to ask.
Yeah, especially as someone who grew up in England. That's a lot to ask.
Right?
to someone to achieve at the very height of their abilities. That's, I love my listeners in England and the UK and in Ireland very much. Please let me come and see your country. Don't beat me up. Because you know what? You know what? One thing I know about England is they do allow striking. They do allow punching there. You I'm think he's boss. Just trying to build you up because he needs someone that he can really fight with?
Not really, because there's other people at the gym who are higher level than both of us that, like, he will have someone to compete against. Like, he'll always have someone that's like a higher level at the gym that will, you know, challenge him.
You know what, Rodrigo? You are saying that Matthew really wants to achieve at a higher level, but he is doing a really good job of acting as though he really does not care. Is he a liar?
He is lying.
Is he pulling a sneak on me right now?
Yeah, it's the only thing he knows. Because he goes probably 4 times a week, which is, I would say, more than someone that doesn't really care about something.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's about probably 3 hours a day for 4 days, so 12 hours a week. So I think that's more than someone who's just a casual fan. And I'm not even asking him to go more. I'm asking him to supplement a gi class with a no-gi class. So he doesn't have to go more. He can just do one less gi class.
Matthew, would you agree with Rodrigo's assessment that your jiu-jitsu has plateaued a little bit?
Maybe earlier in this year, but I feel like recently, not so much.
Maybe a little this year, but recently not so much.
I said earlier in this year.
Earlier this year it plateaued. Recently you've got your game back. Or have you just found some opponents who don't know your five moves? Do you agree with his assessment?
I've progressed.
Do you agree with his assessment that your repertoire of moves is limited? Mm-hmm. Rodrigo, I don't believe you when you say you just want Matthew to get better, because that is a selfless motive, and I don't believe I'm Ayn Rand in this way. I don't believe in selfless motives. I believe only in selfish motives. If you want me to compel your friend to go to a no-gi class and have a surfer fight with you or your other friends, you have to tell me what your selfish motive is for bringing him to court. It can be anything. It can be that you want to see more of him. It can be that you want to fight him harder. It could be something nothing to do with him. It could be that you just wanted to hijack my podcast to have a good time with your pal. What is your selfish motive for bringing this case to court?
It started off that Matt would always have an excuse, so that would always get on my nerves, that he would never just outright say, I don't want to do no gi. He would always have an excuse. One time he even got a haircut and said he couldn't come. But he always had an excuse, and then it got to the point where I wanted him to try your newer moves, because it would get boring rolling with him sometimes. So I feel like if he had done no-gi, he would have to open up his game a little more, and it'd be more entertaining. Like, that could be a selfish reason.
You finally got around to it. It would be more entertaining for you if your friend was a better fighter.
Yes.
You may be good on the mat, sir, but in the octagon of the mind, I have got you so pinned, you don't even know it. But now I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you both go. I'm going to go limber up in my chambers. I'm going to put on my old-timey bathing suit. That's what I fight in. And I'll be back in a moment with my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Rodrigo, how are you feeling about your chances?
I don't know. I'm feeling okay. Not as confident as I thought I was going to be at the beginning.
You mean just because Judge Hodgman basically told you to fear for your life like 10 seconds ago?
Yes.
How are you feeling, Matthew?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like I didn't get to state my whole case, but we'll see what happens.
What did you leave out?
Well, I feel like the main problem is that Rodrigo wants me to attend these no-gi classes, but it's not 100% my decision when you live with someone else.
Mm. So it was like 80%. What percentage? What percent decision is yours? What percent decision is your fiance's? And what percent decision is your hair's? Like whether it's long or
I'd
short?
I'd say like 10% hair, 40% me, and then 50% fiance.
Wow. What is the worst that either of you guys have ever gotten hurt doing this thing?
I would say a month ago, actually, something in my knee popped, which I think is probably the most serious.
And you still don't know what it is? You haven't looked into it?
No, no, not yet. I figured I figured next week was my the threshold where if it kept hurting, I would go.
I actually broke my finger a week before a competition, and Rodrigo kept saying, oh no, it'll be fine, like you only just stubbed it, keep training. So I kept training for that week, and now my finger's just not ever going to be right again.
See, which shows how much he cares.
Have you guys thought about like water aerobics? Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Yeah, Matthew, you got to take some no-gi classes. normally, I would never ever compel someone to do something that they're not into, just because their dumb friend wants them to be into it. It's one of the guiding principles of this court. Can't force someone to like what they're not into. You can't force someone to like something that you like. Just because you like no gi, Rodrigo, doesn't mean that Matthew's got to get into it. And Matthew, if you had ever made 1 ounce of a compelling argument that you, I mean, it's hard to prove a negative, but if perhaps impossible, but if you had ever seemed at any point passionate about anything at all, it should have been about your conviction that you don't need or want to go any further in jiu-jitsu, but you're going 4 times a week. This is a big part of your life right now. This may make, is it Nikki or Mickey who is your fiance?
Nikki.
Nikki. This may make Nikki unhappy. I suspect it does. It's a weird thing to do with a bunch of dudes all the time, but that's me. It's not you. Nikki may not be happy that you spend so much time at the gym, and she might be encouraging you to spend no more than you already are spending at the gym. And that's kind of a reasonable thing to put forward, but it is a big part of your life. And you admit that your repertory of moves has grown a little stale.
Well, the thing is that I didn't put in there as my counter argument is that Nikki works away for the summer, and when Nikki was away, I attended all the classes.
Including the no-gi classes?
Then, yes.
No.
Is that true?
Not one no-gi class.
And I went to a no-gi class probably like, I don't know, a few weeks ago.
That was after we were going to be scheduled to come on here. And then after we were in the locker room, you said...
Yeah, it's a little late to be putting forward these arguments now. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you said. I didn't realize how much time we had. I was just kind of still thought we were on Rodrigo's four argument.
This is a fight about fighting. You got to get your punches in. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe jiu-jitsu is all about patience.
It's technical. It is patience sometimes.
Yeah. But you were, I didn't feel the baseball choke at any moment there. you were like a wet noodle in everybody's hands. You were beaten before you walked in here. Maybe you were coasting on the fact that I don't like to compel people to do things that they're not into. But I consider it to be contempt of court. And I appreciate, and I think that there is more than a little subtext here, that your fiance, perhaps rightly, doesn't want as much jiu-jitsu in her life, since she is sharing you. In a single room in Kenmore Square, not only with jiu-jitsu, but sometimes other jiu-jitsu dudes. That would be enough to put me off jiu-jitsu.
Well, we actually moved to Brookline, so it's not so bad anymore.
Yeah, and that's not jiu-jitsu town, let me tell you. But I will say, where do you live in Brooklyn? I'm not gonna stalk you. Kind of general neighborhood.
I'm by Amory.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's a nice area.
You got the life. You're growing up. You're moving away from this jiu-jitsu madness. Good Lemonster here. Still, this guy's still into his high school Thanksgiving Day rivalry with Fitchburg. He's a child.
I went to Fitchburg.
Oh, you went to Fitchburg?
I went to a private school in Fitchburg.
Oh, well, la-di-da. you're putting away childish things, getting ready to build a life with your fiance. Rodrigo is grabbing childish things and holding onto them tight on the floor.
That's pretty much an accurate description of our relationship, actually.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You can't, jiu-jitsu, the only thing that makes a difference here, if this were like a going to see movies club or a board gaming club, I'd be like, whatever, just play Scrabble at the dumb level that you're playing Scrabble now. That's what I do. I haven't gotten better. I know I can get better. If I sat down and I did the work, if I improved my vocabulary, oh, if I started studying my three-letter words as much as the two-letter words, my scores would go, oh, boom, boom, boom. I'd be hitting 400 every time. I'm not playing to the best of my ability, but you know what it is? It's Scrabble, and it's between me and my wife. It's helping my relationship, not hurting it. But jiu-jitsu, this is non-blood blood sport. This is fighting. Can't be in it. You can't be coming into a courtroom or going onto a jiu-jitsu pod, mat, what would you call it? I don't care. You can't be rolling this way in a fight. If you're rolling, you got to fight more or not fight, or put this all aside. Start going running on a treadmill. Run on a treadmill and lift some weights.
We actually do that too.
Yeah, I know you do it. I know. But the jiu-jitsu, if you want to do it, you got to do it. And I think, and it's obvious to me, I think Rodrigo has not made much of a case for anything except for the fact that no-gi is clearly the Rubicon that you next need to cross in order to progress in jiu-jitsu. If you want to progress in jiu-jitsu, you've got to do it. If you don't feel like progressing in jiu-jitsu, say, I don't feel like progressing in jiu-jitsu anymore. I'm going to stop here and get off my back, Rodrigo, figuratively and literally. And Judge Sean Hodgman, go eat it. But if you do want to progress, and I think that you do, I think you got to take one Friday a month at least and hit the no-gi class. Hit it. Hit it hard. I want you. How many moves? Your best moves, would you say? How many you got? Five, six?
Quite a lot. I think five is an exaggeration.
I don't know how many is a lot.
Like four or five, yeah.
Five? All right. I want you to check in. I want you to check in 6 months from now. I want to hear that you got 30 good moves.
That's a bit much.
One Friday a month is not too much of a sacrifice. It has to be a Friday, right? Not date night. Wednesday's date night. Friday,
right.
Friday, you go out, you grapple with your young friend. You enjoy youth while you have it. You hug each other so violently, and then you go and you get drunk and you have a great time, and then you go to your house in Brookline, and Rodrigo, you go find a home wherever you may find it. and that will be literally the bond between you until such time as you have gotten you've progressed at jiu-jitsu and you've decided whether or not this is going to continue to be a part of your life, because you appreciate that it's a heavily training sport. After a while, it's going to hit the background as you get married, as you pursue other things in your life. You know, jiu-jitsu is going to have to hit, unless you pursue it professionally or semi-professionally, or you just become a street fighter, it's going to hit the background. So I encourage you to grapple with it as hard as you can right now and get as good as you can before it and Rodrigo starts fading into your taillights. And one no-gi class a week Friday. That's my ruling. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that as all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Rodrigo, how do you feel?
I feel good. I feel good. If he does two times a month, that'll be more than he's done it so far in 2 years.
Matthew, are you excited about putting on that rash guard?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, although it's kind of worrying that Rodrigo already upped it from once a month to twice a month, because I'm sure it will then go up to four times
that.
A month.
I noticed that too. Rodrigo, one time a month, one Friday a month.
Right.
Okay.
That's my ruling, Rodrigo. If I hear you're putting a baseball choke on him to do more, you're going to get a strongly worded letter from me, young man.
Okay.
Rodrigo, what's a move that you think will really help Matthew if he adds it to his repertoire in the no-gi classes?
A move? How about...
Preferably one with a funny name.
Brata Plata.
Yeah. Guys, you got to learn Brata Plata, Matthew. I mean, I'm surprised you're not already super good at Brata Plata.
That's actually the move that Rodrigo got disqualified for in that video.
Oh, classic Brata Plata. Well, Rodrigo, Matthew, thanks so much for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts, like If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey.
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts, an award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts now.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using a limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game and brilliant guests who come play him. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take that!
Judge Hodgman, why are you fighting that baseball?
I'm practicing jiu-jitsu on it. That's why I'm rolling around on the floor with this baseball. I'm trying to choke it.
But I put the frankly, sneak on me!
If you want to just sit down in that big comfortable chair, we could clear the docket.
Oh, I know that move. You're not going to trap me again. All right, I'll fall for it. Comfy chair. Let's do it.
Here's something from Bryna.
Bryna.
I get a ton of mailings this time of year looking for donations. Many are accompanied by address labels, notepads, holiday stickers, calendars, etc. I know they expect a donation, but though there are many worthy causes, I can't afford to support all of them. I stick with organizations I support regularly and give more to them rather than spread my giving thin. Is it okay to not give in return for unsolicited stuff that comes in the mail?
No, you have to give $100 to everyone who mails you, no matter what, or you're a monster. What? Of course, yeah, no. Bryna, of course, you're fine. Just because a charity, however worthy it might be, sends you a bunch of return address labels because they looked you up in the phone book or whatever else they try to guilt you into giving them some money, doesn't mean that you have to give them money. Your charitable giving is your own choice to make, and the fact that you're doing any at all is more than a lot of people do. I'm looking at me right now. No, I give to charity, for heaven's sake. But this is truly one of those things where we feel bombarded all the time by what seem like gracious gestures. Even the fact that a gesture is made sometimes has seemed like seemed gracious. This is one of those things these days where we feel bombarded by gracious gestures, unasked for small gifts, or even just the gesture alone seems gracious enough to put in our hearts a feeling of obligation. And the more that we are online and being asked to help kickstart a project or be make a little short video for someone's birthday or anything else that seems painless and harmless and would just take a few moments of your time or a few dollars, The reality is that it is painless to ask these things and to have these ideas, but it costs people time and money to take part in them. And if you are getting 50 or 60 or 100 a day, that is a lot of your time taken. Brittany, you have to be careful with the time and money that you give away, because while it's incredibly good of you to be charitable, and I admire it very much, you have to maintain your own time and enough money for those people who are close to you and around you as well. Just because someone has an idea for something does not create an obligation in you to take part in it. This is my incredibly Grinch-like message to you and all of you this holiday season. Hold back. Pick your battles. Give to something that's meaningful to you and give to it in a meaningful way. And understand that when they send you all those free mailers and stuff like that, that's their job. They're doing it, and it's okay for you to let a few pass and focus on the things that are meaningful to you.
Here's something from Peter. This isn't a dispute, but a brief compilation of the results of a not very scientific study of the prevailing party by gender in old episodes of the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I went back to dish soap or hand soap and listened to every episode up to resisting arrest. I noted the gender of the winner in each case. I kept a separate log for docket clearing cases. If I didn't know one party's gender, I left the case out. If there was no clear-cut finding in favor of one party, I called the decision split.
Is this from the same guy who kept the scientific list of the best horror movies in a spreadsheet?
I salute Peter for doing important things with his time. As Judge John Hodgman said earlier, pick your battles.
I'm grateful to have the data. So let's hear it. I can take it.
In the main court cases, the decision was in favor of the ladies by a score of 44 to 27.
Whoa.
With 13 split decisions and one stunning reversal of a case from male to female. In the docket...
That was a crazy case where that guy turned into a girl before our eyes.
That was madness.
I don't mean to be
cisgender, intolerant, but that was wild to see.
All right.
In the case of in docket cases, the score was 35 to 27, also favoring ladies.
Mm-hmm. A little closer.
I think an interesting follow-up study would be to go through the list and throw out those cases where one party is clearly nuts. For example, the sadness tree guy. Because it seemed as though a disproportionately high number of the crazy ones were men. Do with this information what you will. The split of women to men has been closer in recent episodes. Best wishes, and do keep taking the nutball dudes. They're always good for a laugh.
Well, it's always good to hear from the men's rights advocacy internet groups. No, this is something that's definitely been on my mind as part of the reason why I took a fairly long hiatus from adjudicating male-female marriage disputes or marriage-related disputes. Because, you know, I acknowledge a bias. I think a lot of times dudes either are or come off as a little bit more bonkers and pushy. And maybe there's something very vestigially chivalrous in me and wanting to defend largely intelligent, rational women against the dumb man-children that they happen to marry. But I am trying to really listen to both sides of the case every time, regardless of gender, whether that gender comes from birth or decision or orientation. I don't really care. I just listen to who's less crazy than the other, and I tend to side with that person. That's how the numbers break down. That's how it goes. By the way, I also got a letter recently from a gentleman who upbraided me for my treatment of the Sims family, Jason and Brandy Sims, the so-called sadness tree dude and his wife. For suggesting that his desire to observe a more moribund and contemplative advent than most Americans do was crazy. But in fact, it's apparently very common and commonly observed through a lot of Catholic households. So One man's crazy sadvent is another person's serious religious observance. And all I can say is that I don't listen to gender or background. I listen to argument, and I listen to crazy, and that is that. And I will continue to do so as best I can. I can only do what I can.
That's all we've got on the docket this week.
Hey, everybody. I don't know, as of this recording, how many Ragnarok survival kits we have left of the 500 that were made, but when all 500 are sold, that is all that will ever be made, including the Ragnarok special extended edition DVD. There will never be another DVD other than the 500 that were made for these kits, and I'm not saying that you have to do something just because I had an idea. I'm not like one of those loathsome charities that's been bothering Brynna. I just made a thing that I like, and if you are interested, they're still for sale. If they're not sold out by now, at johnhodgman.com/greenfield or bit.ly/survive Ragnarok. I also have some shows coming up in January at the Public Theater as part of the Under the Radar Festival. It is my new one-man show called I Stole Your Dad, 90 minutes of new comedy and Ayn Rand impersonation. Some of you may have seen it on the road. If you live in New York City or nearby and would like to come, just go to the Public Theater website and tickets are available there.
Hey, I'm going to be in San Francisco at SF Sketchfest with Jordan, doing Jordan Jesse Go on February 8th. It's a Saturday afternoon with special guest Rob Corddry. Maybe you've heard of him.
That's a no miss.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you'd be a real yutz if you didn't come out to that one. And then the next day, which is a Sunday, we're going to be doing a tribute to our Max Fun colleague, Mal Sharp of Coyle and Sharp, who is a genuine San Francisco legend and a genuine comedy legend. And he is a great and hilarious guy who you will really enjoy getting to know on stage. It's going to be me and some other famous comedy people who love Coyle and Sharp, the cult put-on duo of the early 1960s. So if you're in San Francisco, buy tickets for those SF Sketchfest shows. There's going to be all kinds of other great shows at SF Sketchfest, but don't miss those two featuring me. You can find more information at MaximumFun.org. Just look at the calendar on the right-hand side.
I am personally in a white-hot rage that I'm going to have to miss those shows due to prior commitments, because Coyle and Sharp, something that I learned about through you, Jesse, long before we even really knew each other, is one of the most profoundly amazing bits of comedy history and ongoing comedy brilliance that I can ever imagine and have ever encountered. And Rob Corddry, of course, also ongoing comedy brilliance, a total inspiration to me, and a great dude, and also a Massachusettsian. Those sound like two great shows at SF Sketchfest, which, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, is the premier comedy festival in North America these days. Fantastic. Don't miss it.
We did 100 episodes of the Coyle and Sharp podcast for MaximumFun.org, which are still available in iTunes. Just search for Coyle and Sharp. And I would say, if you've never heard Coyle and Sharp, just go into your iTunes or your podcatcher and download the episode titled Maniacs in a Living Hell. It is one of the most amazing. It's one of the most amazing things you will ever hear. And if you download that and you still don't want to come to the tribute, and meet Mal, the guy who invented the insane ideas therein, then, you know, I can't do much for you. And I have some really big news, Judge Hodgman, for MaximumFun.org.
I want to hear it.
Great. We are launching on this very day, as we launch this episode of Judge John Hodgman, 4 brand new Maximum Fun shows.
Ooh.
That's right, 4 brand new Maximum Fun programs.
Wow, 3 brand new programs.
No, that's incorrect. 4 brand new Maximum Fun programs. And we are relaunching our hit show International Waters with a brand new host. So I will run down what these shows are. You should give them a sample. Give them a listen. I think you'll love them.
I'm going to make a note of it. Number one, go.
International Waters relaunched twice a month with new host Dave Holmes. That's right. Television's Dave Holmes, with one of the funniest, most convivial men in America.
Love him.
Much more competent host than I, is taking over International Waters, and the show's going to twice a month. It's the pop quiz battle between English comedians and American comedians. It is a hilarious show.
Two cultures separated by a common language.
Exactly. You really said it. That is the kind of insight I can rely on you for, Judge Hodgman. So that's number one.
Stole it.
Number two, we have a show called The Goose Down. This is a show hosted by comedians Jasper Redd and Kimberly Clark. And Jasper and Kimberly have the most wonderful rapport between the pair of them. It is like they named it The Goose Down because it is like being enveloped in a comforter of their sort of Jasper's laconic drawl and Kimberly's Midwestern sweetness. It is a really funny show, but the kind of show where you listen to 10 minutes of it and you want to be best friends with both of the hosts.
I subscribe.
That's number two.
I have number three
Song
written down
Exploder,
here.
Song Exploder, which is a new show that investigates songs. The first episode involves the Postal Service. Oh. And essentially what your host Hrishi does is he takes a song, breaks it down into its individual tracks, individual instrumental tracks, and interviews the creator about the creation of that song, and then essentially mixes all those elements back up into a version of the song that sometimes goes down to a single drum track or a single guitar track, and the narration of the creator describing why he or she made the choices he or she made. It's totally amazing.
Wow. Mashup culture, it's the way of the future.
A really cool, great thing. Number three, am I on three, four?
No, Lady to Lady. I have number four.
Lady to Lady, which is a show about, we're calling it a show about the stuff that ladies talk about when dudes aren't around. Although obviously it's a podcast, we can't keep dudes from listening to this thing. The hosts are too hilarious.
I want to listen because I want to know what the ladies are saying.
And then finally, a show called Oh No, Ross and Carrie. Ross and Carrie essentially once a month investigate a semi-scientifical phenomenon. And when I say investigate, they full-on investigate it. They went to a month's worth of meetings of a weekly 9/11 truthers group in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
They took anti-hangover cures until they threw up. And then they report back once a month. It is a totally fascinating and also very funny show. So
who are the hosts? Who are Ross and Carrie?
Ross and Carrie are investigators.
Oh, okay.
They are writers, journalists, and investigators. And I am told, John, that our mutual friend, journalist, writer, and sometime humorist John Ronson,
love him,
is going to be a regular contributor to the program because he is such a big fan.
Sold.
Yeah, come on. It's that easy.
I got a list of five. I got International Waters, Goose Down, Song Exploder, Lady to Lady, Oh No, Ross and Carrie, five new essential listen-tos, subscriptors, you know what I mean, podcasts that I want to hear.
Yeah. At the very least, give them a shot. It's all new at MaximumFun.org. We're really proud of all these new shows and proud we can share them with you.
Hey, thank you very much, Jesse. I appreciate that. But who came up with the title for our show today?
This week's show was named by Nick Maritz.
Thanks,
or
Nick.
Possibly Maritz or Maritz. Or Maritz.
Martins.
If you want to name an episode of Judge John Hodgman, like us on Facebook. Just type in Judge John Hodgman on Facebook and click like. Or you can follow us on Twitter. We usually announce those on Twitter as well. I'm at Jesse Thorne. Hodgman is at Hodgman. And our show's edited by Mark McConville and produced by Julia Smith. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. If you have a dispute that you would like me to evaluate and then perhaps hear right here on the podcast or in the page of the New York Times Magazine, just go to MaximumFun.org/JJHo or write me directly, Hodgman@MaximumFun.org, where I will personally review your dispute and we'll move on from there. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at GoSuperEgo.com. You can find John Hodgman online at AreasOfMyExpertise.com.
If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.MaximumFun.org and our Facebook group at Facebook.com/Judge John Hodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.